If you have your Bibles and like to turn to Romans chapter 10, I'll make this as quickly as I can. In Romans chapter 10, Paul is addressing something that's very near and dear to him, that's very heavy on his heart and on his mind. And he starts off this chapter by saying, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now, it's important to understand what type of salvation is under consideration. The Bible talks about eternal salvation and timely salvation. We could just stop right there and we could dive into it, exactly what Paul is talking about, but it's important to continue reading because this very next verse is talking about what Paul's desire is for Israel to be saved from. He says in verse 2, this is the issue at hand. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Paul says, the Israel that I'm praying for, they have a great zeal. They have a great love. They have a great interest that came from God. That word "of" is very important. That literally means that it came from God. They have a great zeal and love that came only from God. Amen. Sounds like there's some people that are born again right here. But where the salvation comes into play is that it's just not according to knowledge. They have a great love and desire and fervency about their lives and service to the Lord. They just are applying it in all the wrong places. It's just not according to knowledge. Now, what's the main issue in Paul's mind? He says, "For they being ignorant," this is the thing that they just don't quite understand. He says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Paul says they have a great love and desire and interest that can only come from God. That much is certain, that much is true. They're putting their hope and their faith in all of the wrong places. They are going about establishing or building upon their own righteousness. Now, what does the book of Isaiah talk about man's righteousness? Without going into great detail, Isaiah says that our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. The point that Paul is trying to make, he's saying that these people that I'm praying for, they love God so much that they're doing everything that they can to earn God's favor and God's delight. They're doing everything that they can in hopes that they will earn God's love. But they're just forgetting about Christ. They're not fully understanding that Christ took care of that load and that burden for them. And notice what he says in verse 4. He says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now, what is Paul saying here? It's very important to understand what Paul is saying here. Paul is not saying, if you believe, then Christ is now the end of the law, and he is your righteousness because you've believed. That's not quite what Paul is saying here. What Paul is saying here is when you believe that Christ really did what he set out to do, if you really believe the message of the angel when he says that that Mary should have a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you really believe in John 19, around verse 30, where Jesus says, it is finished, if you really believe that that is true, and that Christ accomplished what he said to accomplish, if you believe in Christ, you ought to accept the fact that his righteousness has already been yours. When you believe in Christ, you get to obtain, you get to hold on to that righteousness because it's already yours. Believing says, I'm resting solely in Christ. I believe that Christ is my righteousness. Notice what he says in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Paul is saying that there is a type of salvation that comes when someone believes with their heart and confesses with their mouth. Now, this is not eternal salvation. We've already established the salvation that's under consideration is this timely salvation of going about establishing their own righteousness. Child of God, if you believe with your heart and if you confess with your mouth that Christ is your Savior, then guess what? If you really believe what your heart is screaming to you, if you really believe the words that come out of your mouth when you say Christ is the Lord and Christ is the Savior, there is rest, and that is enough. That ought to be enough for you. Amen. In this life. That you don't have to go about establishing your own righteousness to try to earn God's favor. But you believe because of Christ, what Paul says in Ephesians, that you have already been accepted in the beloved. Notice what Jesus Christ himself says in John chapter 3 in verse 16. And I'll close with this verse. Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus. He starts this conversation off by addressing what it means to be born again and how one is born again. And then he gets down in the middle of this. And it's one of the most famous verses, if not the most famous verse of the whole Bible. And when we get to verse 16 of John chapter 3. And Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is saying, for starters, it's very important to notice the order of operation in this verse. Everything starts with God's love. This God's love motivated Christ to come down in flesh. It was God's love that motivated himself to give his Son to the elect family of God as a representative. It was because of God's love. Because Christ Jesus came, because Christ Jesus was given to the elect family of God, when someone believes in Christ, when someone actually looks at Jesus and fully believes in Christ, you're not going to perish in this life, but you'll have everlasting life. This, not only is this a declaration of the fact that you only can believe because you are born again and because you are a child of God, but because you believe, you get to experience your eternal life right here and right now. Jesus says in John chapter 10, in verse 10, that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that ye may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. This getting to believe and not perish, but have everlasting life, is looking to Christ, resting in His righteousness, and getting to fully live in the abundance of life that Jesus came to give each and every child of God when you believe that Christ really accomplished what He set out to do from the very beginning. I pray the Lord bless you is my prayer.